You are listening to Stop, Think, Science. Please buckle your seatbelts and put your tray tables in the upright position. You are about to embark on a journey through science and technology. Get ready to learn and expand your mind. Are you ready?
Well, hello there. This is the holiday episode on the Monday before Christmas of Stop, Think, Science. On the podcast today, you have me, Ian.
And me, Greg. Today, we're going to talk about all the tastes and smells of the holidays.
So, kind of a David Letterman approach, we're going to talk about the five compounds of Christmas. So, in no particular order, they're pretty important to the holiday season. And on the website, we have show notes for every episode, including this one, and you can go see the pretty structures of all of these compounds. So, with that said, let's get into it.
Okay, so at number five, we have sucrose. This one's pretty obvious, because what would your grandmother's famous sugar cookies be without this molecule? Well, they wouldn't be very sweet, that's for sure. Sucrose is a carbohydrate made up of a glucose subunit and a fructose subunit, which are both individually sugar molecules themselves. So that white granulated sugar that you buy in the store, that's sucrose. Brown sugar, that's also sucrose, but with a little bit of molasses. That's another story. Without sucrose, your holidays would not be nearly as sweet as they are every year.
Number four on the list is pinene. Pinene comes in two forms. It comes in the alpha form, so alpha pinene, and it comes in the beta form, beta pinene. We'll put both of those structures up on the website, and if you can notice a difference, leave us a comment. This is what makes your Christmas tree smell Christmassy. This compound is found in just about every type of evergreen tree, the ones with needles, that is. Personal story with alpha pinene. In undergrad Organic Chemistry 1 lab, we were synthesizing this compound. I don't exactly remember why, but working in the hood, I was doing my separation in the SEP funnel, and I wasn't holding the stopper in the SEP funnel as tightly as I should have been. Well, the stopper popped out, and the alpha pinene flew all over me. I wasn't wearing a lab coat, so I smelled like Pine Sol for the rest of the day. Without this compound, your Christmas holidays just wouldn't be the same.
Coming in at number three, again in no particular order, we have cinnamaldehyde. As you might be able to guess from the name, this is what makes cinnamon smell like cinnamon. It is, in its pure form, a viscous yellow liquid, viscous just meaning that it's pretty thick, which can be isolated from the bark of the cinnamon tree. It's used in the agriculture industry as a fungicide. Fun fact about cinnamaldehyde, it's a compound that both Ian and I have had personal experience with. The pure compound, so that viscous yellow liquid that I mentioned, smells really great, but then about 2 seconds later, you realize that it's a really, really potent smell, and it can actually make you feel kind of sick because it's so strong. In general chemistry lab that I teach for, we actually had the undergraduate students synthesize this compound among other aldehydes, which in general are very fragrant compounds, and the entire room just smelled very strong, so much so that I got a pretty strong headache.
Cinnamaldehyde is in the same class as things that smell flowery, banana-y, and other interesting smells. So it's good to note that even small structural changes in a molecule can have a great impact on what it does or how it smells.
Coming in at number two, we have menthol. You may have recognized this before from in your cough drop packages, where its local anesthetic and counter-irritant properties come in handy. In case this time of year it gets a little bit colder, you might be getting a cough or runny nose, it can soothe your throat and make you feel a little bit better. In addition, this compound is used for flavoring in candy canes and other mints that you might eat around this time of year, kind of in the sweets family along with sucrose. The compound itself, menthol, is extracted from peppermint or other mint oils, which come from the leaves of those plants, and is a waxy crystalline substance, which is solid at room temperature and melts slightly above that, so it would melt in your hand. Without menthol, our breath wouldn't smell so good.
Coming in at number one, vanillin. Vanillin is a main component in the extract of the vanilla bean. So when you're rummaging through your cabinets and you see that small bottle of vanilla extract, that's exactly what we're talking about here. It's that stuff that smells good but probably doesn't taste as good as it smells. We actually use vanillin in the chemistry lab as a stain for visualizing compounds on specific separation media. It works as a stain, so don't spill it on yourself when you're making the cookies this year. Artificial vanilla extract that you see in the stores is usually a little bit cheaper than the actual vanilla bean extract. That's because all this is essentially just a solution of synthetic vanillin, just something that's made on an industrial scale, which allows you to have that nice vanilla-y smell in your cookies. It obviously tastes good in baked goods. Have you tasted it?
No. I don't know if we have the real stuff. Actually, you know what? I'm just gonna go see. Vanilla. Pure.
That's it.
Oh. Okay. Taken care of. I think it's good.
Okay.
I mean, it tastes like strong vanilla ice cream flavor.
Okay.
But the initial taste is very strong. That's why I reacted the way I did.
You can actually make your own vanilla bean extract at home. If you take a little bit of ethanol, you can find the instructions online for the exact measures, but if you take a little bit of ethanol in the form of vodka and you add some vanilla beans to it, which are kind of expensive at the store, but what you do is you cut them open and you put them in the vodka. After a few days, the vodka will turn very dark brown and smell and taste like vanilla extract. The problem is, when you make it at home, it's hard to tell when you have the right amount of flavor in the extract. They use some fancy machinery when they make it on an industrial scale that you don't have at home.
Well, there you have it. There's your five compounds of Christmas. Now you are ready to go spend some time with your family and eat some sweets and gain 5 pounds.
So, since it is the holidays, in episode 19, if you didn't listen to it, we talked to Jim Woodgett, who's an expert on scientific communication. One of his suggestions, which came right before Thanksgiving, was to talk about science to your family at Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. It doesn't take long, and you can really, really make a difference.
We hope that this podcast might be a way to open that door to that conversation.
If you have any family members that do enjoy science, send them our way.
We'd love to be able to help them learn more about the science and technology that surround them in their everyday life.
Music in this episode is by Kevin McLeod. Our content and editorial team for this episode consisted of Greg Iyer and myself, Ian Armstrong. If you want to get involved, send us an email to show@stopthinkscience.com.